GI Distress in Central 2 by Sheaf Rotherden and read by Coprime. Rating: General Audiences. Archive Warning: No archive warnings apply. Fandom: The Pit. Relationship: Jack Abbott / Michael Robbie Rabinovich. Additional tags: Hurt Comfort. Robbie ignores the flashing neon signs around him. Regret and Love Confessions. Summary: Robbie makes the end of an interminable workday a whole lot worse. GI Distress in Central 2, Robbie finished up, half-heartedly gesturing at the board. He was tired. Always, perpetually, but especially today, and the handoff stood between him and heading home. That's your slate. Jack acknowledged everything with a slight nod. You had it easy today. Robbie huffed a rueful breath, irritated, thinking back over the 3-victim car crash, the kid with norovirus, the COPD patient they'd transferred to hospice, the construction worker who'd taken a brick to the head, the TIA who'd TIA'd again as they worked them, all in the last hour. Robbie's joints were aching, as if to remind him how long he'd been on his feet, which in turn suggested how far behind he was on charting, and after 12 hours in the stuffy ED, his brain could barely join words together in a sentence, much less allow him to catch up once he was home. He was thirsty and hot, and there was a headache lodged at the back of his skull. Sure, he replied with a shrug, swinging his backpack onto his shoulder. You have fun. Jack looked over, half smiling, mischief tucked into the corner of his mouth, but then his expression shifted as Robbie watched. You okay? He asked. And for fuck's sake, when would people stop asking that? Robbie began, but then the whole ED turned into a lazy loop around him, and he had just enough time to realize he was falling back against the nurse's station before there was a sharp pain in his head and the whole world went black. All he wanted was to sleep. A little sleep. To stay fixed and supine in the comforting darkness behind his eyelids. But no. There was hubbub. There was motion that made his stomach pitch as he was, what, lifted? Swung. Hands on his shoulders. Fuck off, he said, or tried to, but even to his own ears, he heard only a soft groan before someone. Goddamn people in his business. So many people, so loud, his head hurt. Patted his cheek. You with me? You with me, Robbie? Robbie tried to open his eyes, but the effort was staggering. He couldn't. He didn't want to. He just wanted to sleep. But now there was light, briefly blinding, in one eye, then the other, and then dark again. Oh, thank God. Darkness. If people could just be quiet. The urgency with which everyone was speaking was some kind of sharp physical pressure. It was 100 paper cuts, just this side of too much to bear. It was salt in a wound, vinegar, acid. He turned his head. Okay, that's good, that's good. We bothering you, brother? Someone asked. It was the only voice that stood out, the only voice Robbie could track amid the frenetic buzz around him. Fuck off, he said again. And this time he thought perhaps he actually formed the words, because someone let out a low, ha, in response. No can do, buddy. Open your eyes. Robbie tried again, managed to lift his head and slip one eye for a painful, searing moment, then dropped back against the... Why was he down? Why was he lying down in his ED? When there were patients, and students, and residents, and Jack, and... Jack. That was the guy. That was Robbie's guy. That was the guy talking to him. Okay, rest easy, we got you. Anyone see this asshole eat today? A wash of words. Drink? Someone shifted Robbie's left arm, fussed around his elbow. Someone pressed something cool and round to his sternum. Someone pulled off his shoes and socks, and his feet were cold. His everything was cold. He was cold, and they had blankets around here somewhere. He knew that. People were tugging at his pants, at his shirt. Fucking stop it. So many hands. Labs will be back before you know it, his guy said. And someone read his temp aloud, and there was briefly, wonderfully, a hand on his forehead, then on his cheek, and then not, but more of the tugging and pressure on his belly, on his guts. Fine, Robbie managed, and tried to lift a hand to bat people away. No copping a feel, man, not here, his guy said, sounding absolutely maniacally cheerful, fucking maniac. Like Robbie would he? Would, did they? You're gonna feel a little prick in just a second, though, Dr. King. Robbie felt the constellation of people around him shift, someone moving to stand at his head, but he felt nothing in particular, nothing but the pitch of his stomach and the pounding in his skull that eased slowly, a little more. Huffing appreciatively, he felt pressure at his elbow, at his temple, at his hip, and struggled again to look around. Peering into the glare beyond his eyelids, he had just long enough to regret it before he turned his head and threw up on the gurney, vomit dripping from it to pool on the floor. Ugh, he managed, knowing he should keep his head turned. A protocol. Something he... Sorry, he mumbled. Bud, it's fine. It's all information, said his guy, reaching over and above Robbie's head and coming back with a wad of gauze to wipe at his chin and his mouth. Gave yourself a world-class concussion, huh? Robbie rubbed his cheek against the thin fabric of the gurney and gave into the blackness again. When he next woke up, he was in a bed that he didn't recognize, in a room he didn't recognize, for reasons that wouldn't come to mind. He blinked, and the room swam into focus. Blinked again, and Jack leaned into his line of sight, a surgical mask across the lower half of his face. Hey. He looked like hell, brow furrowed, gaze heavy. Hey, Robbie rasped. His mouth tasted like shit. His tongue felt rough. His teeth ached. Where was his mask? Internal medicine, my friend. This is what your sins will get you. No sins, Robbie protested softly, immediately. Oh, really? 'Cause I got a list. Flu, dehydrated, low sugar, concussed. Oh. Robbie considered that. His head hurt in the way that suggested there were painkillers involved somewhere, and maybe a local. How'd I pass out, said Jack, eyes wide for emphasis. Ass over elbow, right there in the ED. Flu. There'd been flu cases all week. He'd had his shot, masked, washed his hands, changed his scrubs more than once, and here he still was. Mm-hmm. Huh. Jack sat back in his chair, arms folded. You must have felt like shit for hours. Robbie blinked at him while he thought that over. Everything felt uneven, like riding a bicycle over cobbles without tires. Rough. Swear to God, Mike, you want to tell someone when that's the case? Short staff. Santos had had the flu, McKay, too, Well, hell, now we sure are. Robbie wet his lips. You mad? Jack heaved a long sigh, pressing his lips together. Scared me, he said, eventually. The words sank like pebbles inside Robbie, like stones that skimmed the surface of water and then sank. Jack was his guy. Jack was all he'd had to hang on to when the entire world had tilted on its axis, when he didn't understand a thing that was happening to him back downstairs. He searched for the exact words he needed. The first dozen felt ineffectual, the next batch insincere. He pushed through the fog of words that were familiar to him, almost always on the tip of his tongue, and sounded out new ones in his mind. He pulled in a breath. Kinda, you know, love you. Jack sagged a little in his seat, then reached over and picked up Robbie's hand. Yeah, you dumb fuck. Hey. Oh, now, hold on. Me too, Jack said. And there was a glint in his eye now, something other than the seriousness of before. Robbie liked his face like this, the crinkles beside his eyes. But man, are we having a conversation later? He raised one eyebrow, and Robbie felt inexplicably better about almost everything that came to mind. He squeezed Jack's fingers. We are? Oh, brother, yes. Jack bent his head and pressed his temple to their joined hands. I'm gonna sleep now. You should do the same. Robbie watched as Jack closed his eyes, which was rich, considering he'd just thrown out the words dumb fuck, but was the one who was going to wake up with a backache for the ages. He thought about arguing. He thought about shooting back an insult to even the score. But then he thought about Jack's voice in the tumult of the ED, the way it had led him through chaos to here, to the subdued beats of a heart monitor, the here and there soreness of the IV taped to his arm, the steady beating of his own heart, and the rise and fall of two sets of breaths. I got you, he mumbled, and closed his own eyes, found himself anchored, when he hadn't known he'd been at risk of drifting far beyond shore. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work or the author.